And look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I've used this verse before. And you know, there's always, when you do the work of the Lord, you always have an adversary. And that adversary, I read in Paul's life, followed him everywhere he went. You ever read in the book of Acts, when Paul would go into a place, there'd be some Jews that come down, follow him into that place and stir up people. He'd go up to another place. They'd follow him up there, stir up people. And every time, there's an adversary. And in your life, you have adversaries. You have foes. You have enemies. You have people that don't like you. You have people that would like to see your ministry destroyed. And you have people that would love to see this ministry destroyed and cease. And we are living in that time, in that where Satan and his forces is stronger than ever. And we need the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickeries. And so I want to talk to you about where you can get your strength from and where, well, anyway, just look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And notice what he says there in verse, in chapter 16, and notice in verse 9. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Why would he have to have without fear? Because of the adversaries. I want you to see how they work. How the adversary works in trying to defeat you. Notice back in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. And notice in 2 Corinthians. No, I told you wrong. It's 1 Corinthians. I'll get my mind in gear and we'll go here. 1 Corinthians. You see, I'm trying to get your fingers loosened up. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice this thing about this man here, and I want you to see that. And he talks about, in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now come on down, and he tells them there, in verse 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Verse 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Well, you know it has to be a spiritual thing. He says there, the bread, and I'm not talking about a wafer, and I'm not talking about Welch's grape juice and having some physical thing and some celebration and all of that stuff that goes on in the religious systems today. As Kevin pointed out, we worship God in the Spirit. We are a spiritual body. We are called the body of Christ. This leaven in here can affect the lump. Notice what he says there. He said, your glorying is not good, in verse 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Well, the whole lump would have been the church at Corinth. It would be like likened to the church at Corinth and to this church, a loaf of bread. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so this leaven spreads. Well, the leaven in the context is fornication. One would have his own father's wife. It's something that has to do with doctrine. It's something that has to be, it's taught. And bad doctrine is always referred to in the Scripture as leaven. How does the adversary work? By putting leaven in the lump. Look back with me and notice in Matthew, in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, one of the main reasons, where Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're not ignorant of the devices of Satan. You have an adversary. How's he going to work in your life? First of all, he's going to try to put some bad doctrine in front of you, entice you, and after a while, it will spread into your life and cause you to doubt the Word of God. That's his number one thing. And we see that in our country today. There are hundreds of different translations of the Bible. In this world today, it has spread. And people today are carrying around a book that they don't even know if it is the Word of God. I mean, God honored this country with the King James Bible, and then they turned out and started getting green. They wanted a revised, they had the revised standard, and then along come the NIV. I mean, it's just book after book. Every year they come out with a new Bible and change words in it, and on, it spreads, and now the country is so far away from God and the Holy Bible that it'll never get back. And we're in that time. Leaven. Look in Matthew chapter 16. Notice Christ, he's talking about in verse 5, Matthew 16, verse 5. When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, the physical bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Jesus Christ told them to beware of leaven, the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's always bad doctrine in the Bible is referred to as leaven. Now notice this thing about this thing. Turn to Exodus and look in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, and notice in verse, let's see, 15. Is after the Lord's Passover now. Remember, Paul's using this passage. We read it in 1 Corinthians. Then he says in verse 11, let me read that. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. We read that the Lord our Passover was crucified for us. Come down to verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. In other words, they were to clean their house of a leaven. And you could make, I'm making an application of it. We're to clean our house, our body, our mind, our soul, our spirit of any bad doctrine that might be in there, and that leaven, because it will spread to one member to another member. And that's the tactic of Satan, is he will come in, he will cause bad doctrine to be put into one person, and they'll begin to believe it, and then they'll go into another one, and another one, and another one, and before you know it, the work of the Lord ceases. Like it should be. Bad doctrine. The adversary. He also uses fear tactics. Turn with me and look in Nehemiah. And notice in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah. And I want you to take Ezra. You have Ezra and Nehemiah. They're right together. You go to 1st, 2nd Chronicles. Then you'll come to Ezra, then Nehemiah, then Esther. That's the three books right there. So go find 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st Kings, 2nd Kings, 1st Chronicles, 2nd Chronicles. If I got to name the whole New Testament, Old Testament, look in Nehemiah. I want you to see something there. Notice how that the Satan works in how that he tries to stop. Not only is it through leaven or bad doctrine the adversary works, but notice what he says. I'm just going to, there are several verses here, but I'm going to, they go down in Nehemiah to build the streets in the Jerusalem, the city, and verse chapter 2, I believe it is. We'll go there. And notice in chapter 2, the king sends him down. And notice, but in verse, verse 19, but when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Now come over with me and look how that they're laughing at them. They laughed them to scorn. In chapter 4, notice what they began to do. But it came to pass, verse 1, when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. They mocked them. They laughed at them. They poked fun at them. They're trying to do something. Come on down with me, verse 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But when it came to pass that when Sambalat, Tobiah, and the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Satan has always had someone to try to hinder the work of the Lord. That's all I'm trying to get. They're adversaries, folks. How do they do it? They make fun of you. They mock you. They call you names. You're going to face that if you follow Paul. In the coming years, you're going to be ridiculed. Oh, you go, where you go to church that? I go to Charity Bible Church. Oh, you're up there. Oh, that one. They know. We stand against religion. We're the opposite of what they are. And they don't want the work of the Lord to go. Look on with me about this. Turn over to chapter, look in verse 9. Back in chapter 4, verse 9. Nevertheless, we made prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Verse 11. And our adversaries. Who are they? Sambalat, Tobiah, the Arabians, the people that's trying to hinder, the people that's mocking at them. He said, and our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. That's the job of the adversary. That's the motive behind people running you down, talking about you. They want the work of the Lord to cease. How can they get the work of the Lord to cease? By getting you discouraged so you'll quit. People's all about going through hard times and everything and being having suffering and the things that happens to them. A lot of things happens to people because of what they do and what they stand for. And God permits it. We're not only to believe on Christ, but we're to suffer for His name's sake. And don't you think you won't suffer if you're in the body of Christ. You say, well, if I'm going to suffer to be in the body of Christ, I just won't get in the body of Christ. Well, you know what the alternative is? Being cast into a lake of fire for eternity and suffering for all eternity. The thing I want you to see, their adversary. Look with me in chapter 6 of Nehemiah. I'm just making an application. It runs through the Bible. You read the Bible. Everywhere you go, there are adversaries trying to stop the work of the Lord. They're infiltrating into the members of the body of Christ. There were people in Corinth that didn't even believe in the resurrection. And he said, how say some among you, that there is no resurrection. Doctrine, leaven. You're an unleavened loaf. A little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. Look in Nehemiah chapter 6. They not only try to mock at you and make fun at you, but look in chapter 6. Notice verse 1 again, the same crowd. Now it came to pass when Sambalat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian. Come on down with me to verse 8. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Well, what he feigned out of his own heart was a bunch of lies against Nehemiah. And they said, Nehemiah's trying to be the king, and he's trying to do this and that, and they made up a bunch of stories about him. Come down to verse 9. Verse 9, here's their tactic. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen our hands. Verse 12, and lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. They sent a prophet unto him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. They'll try to say in the name of the Lord against you. The Lord's not with you. The Lord's not doing that. If you're believing what the Lord wants, why ain't you got more? On and on the thing goes. Verse 12. Lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sambalat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so. Come down to verse 14. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sambalat according to their words, and on the prophecies of Nodiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Then why? So the wall was finished. Verse 16, it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were round about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Folks, I want to tell you, you know what that tells me? The victory's ours. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. All I want you to see is there's adversaries out there. His name is Satan. He doesn't like you. He tries to discourage you. He tries to hurt you. He is your enemy. He moves on people to do and make decisions that affect you, that hurt you, that try to make you weak in your mind toward your Lord and what you want to do and your desires. But don't give in to him. Be strong in the Lord. Stagger not at the promises of God in unbelief, but be strong in faith. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation always make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Folks, I want to tell you something. We're going to see some hard times ahead. There are days that's coming that is going to try some of us. We're going to have believe in the Word of God. Be strong in this book and don't worry about what people say about you. I'm a Christian. Yes. I'm a grace believer. I'm a member of the body of Christ. I heard a guy preaching on the church today. And he wouldn't know the church if he bumped into a church. Do you realize most people don't know what the church is? The church is the body of Christ. The church is a spiritual organism. The church is a group of people that's neither male nor female. That's neither Jew or Gentile, they're all baptized in the body of Christ. They have the identity of Christ about them. If you're saved today, you have His identity. You're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, and bless your heart, you're not your own. You're not your own boss. The Lord is. How much do you think about Him anyway? We're to have communion with Him. We're to have fellowship with Him. How many times during the week do you even, the Lord even crosses your mind? How many times during the week do you just by your head somewhere, or going down the road, and for heaven's sakes, don't close your eyes going down the road, but say a prayer to him. How many just talk to him just like you talk to your friend? Lord, I mean, every day when you're getting up and you're sitting beside your bed and you're getting up and fixing and you're getting your clothes on, you can't breathe a prayer and say, Lord, help me today and help me to honor you today. Thank you for saving me. I mean, folks, how many days goes by and you don't even talk to him? Oh, tragedy comes. Oh, pray. Oh, Lord, why did this happen? Oh, well, he might have let it happen just to get you to talk to him. You know what's the problem? I was reading some of the scriptures this week in the Old Testament. I noticed two kings back there. One of them was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great king. He's the one that turned his face. The Lord said, get your house in order. You know, and he turned his face to the wall and began to weep and to cry. And the Lord heard his prayer and he added 15 years to his life. And them 15 years that he added to his life come out of Hezekiah's loins, Manasseh. And Manasseh was 12 years old when his daddy died. 3 years after he prayed and asked the Lord to extend his life, the Lord gave him 15 years. 3 years later, Manasseh was born. Manasseh was one of the wickedest kings of Israel. Chaos in them last 15 years of Hezekiah's life. But Hezekiah said in one place his heart was lifted up because of his witches and he didn't have need of the Lord. He forsook the Lord. Over and over, you know what's the matter with a lot of us today? We live in air-conditioned homes. We have heated homes. We have electricity, we flip a switch, we can see, we can cook, we can do this. We get in the car, we drive to work, we drive back to work, we run the air conditioner, and on, and we have it made. Think about if the power went out. Think about if all of a sudden there was no more electricity and there could not be no more electricity. What would you do? You couldn't do nothing. You'd run out of gas if the automobile worked. You couldn't do nothing because they couldn't pump the gas out of the ground. No electricity. Your food would defrost and rot before you could eat it all. The supermarkets would be closed. You couldn't go get nothing. I mean, come on, folks. What would you do? You say, well, that'll never happen. Oh, but it will happen. Do you think in the tribulation period that God Almighty is going to leave them satellites and all that stuff and all of this technology going on? Why do you think that there's going to be great famine in the earth? So, well, we're not going to be there. But let's just say if it happened before the church was called out, what would you do? Most of us don't even know milk comes from a cow. We think it comes out of the food line. How would you grow your food? How would you live? I tell you what you'd do. You'd be on your hands and knees to a God that you knew that could supply your needs. And you'd begin to pray to Him. Well, if you do that then, how come you can't at least talk to Him when you got something? Why is it that we wait for a tragedy to hit our lives before we acknowledge the Lord? I'd whole lot rather acknowledge him when I'm doing well and when I got everything and everything's going okay than when the tragedy comes. I know who's in charge. Adversaries. They try to discourage us by poking fun at us, mocking us. They try to make us afraid. They try to scare you. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind. The spirit of fear doesn't come from the Lord. You know, folks, have you ever experienced the spirit of fear? I'll tell you how to do it. You want to feel what it's like? Go to your work. Pick out somebody that you know that needs the Lord and go talk to them about their salvation. I guarantee you, before you get there, the spirit of fear will come upon you. Why? They don't want you talking about Jesus Christ. You ever went to witness? You felt like you needed to tell somebody about the Lord and what He's done for you? And you get afraid. Spirit of fear. Also, I want you to turn back with me. And I want to read a passage, and I think it's in the book of Ezra. The adversaries try to make you afraid. Folks, you just need to know who your enemy is. In Ezra chapter 4, verse 1. Ezra chapter 4, verse 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity build the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Ezra is about the building of the temple. Nehemiah is about the building and restoration of the city. He said, they heard about this. Come down to verse 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia. And folks, they hired counselors against them to frustrate them, to aggravate them, to torture them, to weaken their hands from the work. And they go on and on, and I'm not going to go on about it. I just want you to see adversary, those that are stand against the work of the Lord. Paul said they were enemies of the cross of Christ. Do you realize that there are people today that do not want the cross of Christ preached to you? The religious system out here doesn't want the cross of Christ preached. They don't want people to know that Jesus Christ died for all of their sins. They don't want the people to know that there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. God has set you free from guilt, from sin. Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins. He died for all of your sins. He was your sacrifice. He offered Himself unto God in your stead. And God accepted that sacrifice and God wiped the slate clean and you have nothing to be guilty about. Let me give you something here. Turn to Romans. Notice in Romans. Notice in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We have law enforcement in here. This is a law-abiding church. I mean, we got the officers in here. You know what they enforce? Greg and Joel, they're here today. Y'all enforce your own ideas? No? It's hard to say what Joel just said back there, but they enforce the law. They didn't write it. They enforce it. But if there is no law, is there anything to enforce? Come on, are they? Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 15. This is one of the things the religious system, our adversaries don't want you to know. Look in verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no what? Is there a transgression if there's no law to cover it? Look in chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5. Notice in verse 13. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is what? No law. Sin is not put to your account. It's not imputed where there is no law. Now turn to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, in verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become what? Dead to the law. You're dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Turn over with me to Galatians and look in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. Galatians 2, 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 19, for I, through the law, am dead to the law. What's he talking about there, folks? He's talking about this. On the day in AD 33, Jesus Christ, you know, the law put him to death. The law is like the prosecuting attorney and the law there. And so Jesus Christ went to that cross, and the law condemned Jesus Christ in your stead. Why are you there in Galatians? Look over in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 10. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law, you're trying to keep the law, look what he said, are under the curse. For it is written, curse is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you're under the law, you got to keep the law. If you break one of the least, you're guilty of them all. And if you're under the law, you're under that curse. But that, look down in verse 13. Look what he said in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is every one that hangeth on the tree. Or then I know that on that day, Jesus Christ was made a curse. Why? He became what you are, and you are a lawbreaker. Every one of you. You got an old man in you that'll break them laws. Jesus Christ became the curse for you. And he said, I through the law am dead to the law. In other words, God saw me on that day. God saw blind Sipes on that day. God saw, you can put your name there on that day, that God's law was being He put you to death in Christ. That law judged you. That law sentenced you. That law condemned you. That law put you to death in Jesus Christ, and you died that day, and you weren't even born. But God knew you. I look in Ephesians. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, or to make of in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He abolished in His flesh the enmity. Look in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2. And notice in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2. Notice verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His... what? Was it nailed to His cross? Sure was. What was there? All of the commandments, the ordinances, all of the things that religion tells you you got to do today or you're not right with God, all of that was nailed to the cross. I am dead to the law. The law is gone. Don't judge me. Now tell me something. As a member of the body of Christ, what is there to condemn you? Now, I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about in salvation. What is there to condemn you? What is there for God to say, I don't want nothing else to do with you? Nothing. You are in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You live in the Spirit. And if you want to enjoy the Lord and have communion with Him, then you will live your life in shadow of the cross and quit letting people condemn you and judge you and put you down and quit worrying about them. They want to make fun of you, let them make fun of you. They want to talk about you, let them talk about you. Don't let your adversaries come around and weaken your hands or cause you discouraged and make you discouraged. And don't let the spirit of fear come on you and try to keep you from serving the Lord. I mean, folks, let's get together. Let's just serve the Lord in this place. Let's do what the Lord would have us to do. For I'm telling you, the days are getting close. And this could be the day the Lord says, come up. Come out of there. Our adversaries. Well, what are we to do? We're to stand. You know what my job is? It's to perfect you. It's to mend you. It's to build you up. It's to encourage you. That's what exhortation is. It's to restore you. I hope you understand, folks, you serve the greatest being in the universe. And there is nothing to be discouraged about. I know it's hard to say that. So don't let bad doctrine come in and leaven the whole lump. Keep away from it. In fact, while you're there, turn back to Romans and look at Romans. Again, I'm going to close with this. Romans chapter, notice what he says. Verse chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, Mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and what? Avoid them. You know how you keep bad doctrine from getting in? You avoid them. You don't sit around and listen to their garbage. You avoid them. And if you can avoid them, then you do what Kevin said. You judge it. You judge it by the Word of God. Now, I believe that everybody in the dispensation of grace will be judged by the epistles of Paul. I believe the Old Testament will be judged by the law. Those that were under the law shall be judged by the law. So, well, what about them people over there in Lorsalabobly over or wherever that don't have never heard of Jesus Christ or the Word of God? Let me tell you what Paul says in Romans chapter 2. He said, the Gentiles which have not the law have a law in their own hearts. They do the work of the law. In other words, they know it's not right to steal. They know it's not right to kill. And they have that spirit of law that God put them in there in their hearts. Every man, boy, girl that is born of a woman has that spirit of law. You know what it's called? It's called a conscience. People say, well, I don't believe in God. They're lying. If they know right from wrong, they have a conscience that they got from the God that they don't even believe in. You cannot. Evolution can't produce a conscience. That's how dumb, stupid the educational doctors of the whatever and the religious people and whoever or whatever out there that come up with that bunk. You know something? When it disagrees with science or medicine or anything else in this world that man produced, and it goes against the King James Bible, you know what you do? You throw that junk in the trash can, stick to the book. Amen, amen, amen. That's good preaching, Brian. Glad you enjoyed it. Don't get discouraged. Keep on keeping on. Amen. Shake hands with one another and you're at liberty to go.